Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams.
And we're bringing our show to you today.
What do I do now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success.
Okay, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about today because we are on the verge of the holiday season. So we're going to try to squeeze as much information into this 30 minutes as humanly possible. Again, we thank you for listening to the show. Saturdays, 3 o'clock, 103.7 The Beat. And I hope you've enjoyed the past shows. And don't fail to contact Chauncey or myself if you got questions that you want answers to. All right, Chauncey, how are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, brother. I'm ready today. I know we were talking last week about the payday loans and looking at online sites that offer money like that. But I know me and you talked last time and say it's the holiday season. Let's talk about what is a good Christmas.
What is a good Christmas? That's a very good question. What defines or determines a good Christmas?
It's funny that I don't know. I was talking to a group of gentlemen. I think it was students, like about a couple of weeks, and we were talking about what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for the holidays? And then a couple of people brought up a figure, a dollar amount, and they said, and I said, how much did your family spend on you for Christmas? They said, $3,000.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I said, $3,000? I said, do you remember what you got for last Christmas?
Right. It's a simple question. $3,000 is a lot of money.
But when you look back and you think about it, a lot of us do go above and beyond for our kids or our fiancés or our wives, just trying to say, in this month, I can go all out. It's Christmas, man. I'm doing it because it's Christmas, Tony.
Right. And that kind of takes away from what we've been trying to talk about is the budgeting, okay? And this time of the year, for those that have done very good for 11 months, the 12th month, it goes bad.
It goes bad. I look at it like having a self-discipline when it comes, when holiday season comes. And I can remember as I got older, you know, your eyes get bigger and your pocket gets smaller.
Okay.
When you're in a household with your parents.
Right.
And you want the designer shoes, designer clothes, and your parents humble you and let you know certain things. And my father had this equation as I got older.
Okay.
And it was three things he said you could do for Christmas. And one of them was a need. And the need was something that you felt like you needed that can probably make you successful in school or if you're in athletics or something scholastic or a need, something you really needed.
Okay.
And then the next thing was an opportunity. Opportunity was, he said, okay, well, you can get this opportunity. I can pay for you to go to a sports camp. You can go on a trip to see some relatives. You can get an opportunity to go to do something outside of the realm of being in the city. Amusement park, an opportunity, give you an experience. And the last one was a want. But the won't had a price limit. It's like, I can remember my only pair, and I don't mention too many names on here, my only pair of Michael Jordans I own was in 1994, and we needed them for the team. And I know we went out, I think we went to JCPenney's over there on Henry Street that was open, and we went out with a team. We priced them. We got a discount. And I told my daddy, I said, I want them Jordans. And he had the glitter on the side. I can't remember the name of them. And he had the tongue with the net, and I said, I want those. He said, you know, that's a won't Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
I like, it's November. He was like, it's a won't.
That was good.
He humbled me and made me want to do better in my own self so I don't have to always go to the well. Because he's like, well, but it taught me a discipline in my own life when the holidays come around with budgeting. Like each paycheck now to this day, I take a little bit of money out. So then when Christmas come, I have a little cushion to do something special with my family.
Yeah, it's your budget. You've set aside a certain amount of money to celebrate Christmas. Okay, and that's great versus just willy-nilly using a credit card and then say, you know, we'll worry about the bills in January. That's not good financial planning. And, of course, many Americans fall in a trap of all the ads, the discounts or what have you at Christmas time. And, unfortunately, a lot of them wind up in financial trouble in the coming year because they overspent and never really sit down and took the time to determine how much money that they were going to actually spend for Christmas, which takes us back to the topic is what determines a good Christmas? Is it how much money you spend? Is it how much stuff you can receive or purchase? Or is it the fellowship of family and friends and actually celebrating the birth of Christ? Okay. Unfortunately, you know, around the world, we have moved way to the left.
To the left. We have commercialized a kingdom holiday. I'm not going to say a Christian holiday because I look at Jesus Christ as a kingdom.
Okay.
And, you know, and he wants you to live more abundantly. We're not talking about physically. And I always say this quote, people are more associated with having instead of becoming.
That's good.
If you become the love, if you become the caring, if you become the things you're supposed to do, God will provide those things that need, the opportunity, and wants to you because of you sharing and you spreading your love to the people you're with. And they want to have you around. And they want to make sure that you are successful with what you're doing. So I look at it like, that's how the kingdom wants you to be. Mm-hmm. Like, my life going to be abundant. I'm going to have this, this, and that. You'll have a long list of these things I need to have physically. No, just having my health and waking up and being happy and being able to look at my sisters and brothers and hug them and love them, my nieces and nephews, and see them.
Okay.
On those, during that holiday time, having that extra time to get around to the family, to make them phone calls, mm-hmm. to call that cousin you ain't calling in a while, or to get that that pumpkin pie or that sweet potato pie in our culture, to get, you know, those desserts that you've been wanting, you know.
Right. So once a year.
Once a year, and just celebrate each other. And I don't remember too many presents that I had, but I can tell you when somebody made the tree fall down. In the house, you know, or when somebody burnt up the turkey, or things we did when we made a snowman on Christmas Day, I can remember the experiences. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, now we done got to the point where it's commercialized, where they'll show a car on Christmas, like,
oh yeah,
with a bow on front outside, like, you made my year, but what about the other 12, 11 months?
Right. For that car, it's like 5, 6, 7 years that you have to pay that car off that you purchased at Christmas.
I see that commercial. That's a typical commercial when you see it and it comes out and you see it and you're like, I'm not gonna mention no brands, but you'll see it and they'll have a bow on it and I'm like, that car costs $70,000. That car costs $80,000 and you got it for this one Christmas. So your next 11 months is gonna be what I call depression. And during the holiday time in our region, it gets darker earlier.
Okay.
And we live in an industrial type of community.
Oh, Rust Belt.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our listeners, they're working or they're trying to say, all right, I got to make sure my kids have a good Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, what is a good Christmas? Is a good Christmas you going to work extra hours to acquire some things that your kids don't need?
Right.
And whether they would rather have you at home just celebrating with you, mm-hmm. you cooking the favorite meal that they have, telling them you love them and being with them and sharing those stories and having them around grandma, grandpa, around their sisters and brothers, or taking them on an experience somewhere. Instead of saying, well, I got to break my back so they can have the latest of these things so they can go to school and wave them into other kids' faces.
Yeah, that's like the story you told me the other day about the blue jeans. All right?
Okay, the $250 blue jeans.
I can't phantom. I just don't. Man, it just blows my mind to really think that people spend that kind of money on a pair of blue jeans. What's the purpose of it?
I don't know, man. It just makes me think that It's like trying to show a sign of appreciation, or I got it and you don't have it, or I don't know what it is.
It's a status symbol then?
I never owned.
It shows you that you are you have attained a certain status in life because you wear those jeans. I mean, your pockets may be empty, but yet you got on a 200 and whatever dollar pair of jeans. I don't think that's really what the intent is for this to be as a status symbol. For us,
they might sell out. Look,
around every day,
they might sell out for during the holidays. They might just sell out. People might just like, I want these jeans. And what does it do for a mindset financially? Mm-hmm. What does it say? Like, when you have on those pairs, does that say something about you? What does that say about you financially?
Well, it evidently it shows that you are financially successful because you can afford to buy those kinds of jeans.
Okay, so that's one point that it says.
I would hope so. I mean, me personally, I would never ever buy those jeans for me or my children.
I can't explain that to my father if he was alive. Like, Dad, I would like these pair of jeans for $250.
Man, my dad would just, he'd go nuts if I ever even had a conversation. I mean, about spending money that way. You know, he was a no-nonsense kind of guy. And I think that's where I got my DNA from as far as how I deal with money and business and finances. And it's a blessing. It's an actual blessing to have that knowledge of being able to manage your money and buy the things, like you say, that you need.
Yep. Need, opportunity, and want. And I just look at those things like those are necessities. Like, you get one want. You can have that one want. I can remember getting my first, I'm getting old, I think. I remember getting my first Atari. You know, people in my generation, the Atari, we had a game called 21 or something. I got an Atari. I think I got some sneakers. And I got a need. It was like a Goodfellow bag was my need.
Okay.
You know, and I got those things. And growing up and being older, my wife is she's from Detroit. And she tells me, you know, I used to always have this stigma about people in the big city. I think that they would spend a lot of money. But she's not like that. And then she said this to me the other day. She said, "You the Grinch that stole Christmas." I was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm not the Grinch that stole Christmas." She said, "Everything has to be set to a certain amount that we do. Oh. And it has to be planned." I said, "Yes."
That's called common sense.
Yeah, because I don't want to get into behaviors and habits that I can't control. Mm-hmm. And then when I look at it, when the new year comes in 2016, because people do set New Year's resolutions. Would you let that? Why would I let 1 month
dictate
my next 11?
Don't make sense to me.
And like I brought a list in. Just it talks about depression, the signs of depression. So it's just a lot of times when we go under depression, it makes us spend money to make us feel good. It's mm-hmm. it's kickers. It's one of them is food.
Okay.
The other one is money. Then the third one is alcohol.
Okay.
Now, all three of those things can happen during the holiday season. Somebody's off work. They got a 2 week period off work. They got a week off. Now, if they're not into positive behaviors and habits, what they gonna do? They gonna either fall in one of those vices.
All three.
And going down the depression list, it says feeling sad all the time, feeling worthless, hopeless, and guilty for no rational reason, constant anxiety and irritability, loss of interest in activities you used to enjoy, a change in sleep patterns, difficulty concentrating and making decisions, a lot of headaches, stomach aches, a lot of loss of interest in eating or a need to overeat, using alcohol or illegal drugs to avoid reality.
Deep. That's deep. Deep.
So just think about it. It's cold. Like, I'm not going to wood. Okay. It's warm outside. I've been jogging in church on Sunday. So I'm like, I don't have to buy no winter gear just yet. Right. I'm going to do it every Sunday. And I was like, it makes you think that because Muskegon, you have some long, cold runners.
Oh, they're coming.
And if you're not getting around fellowshipping with people, like, and getting into a ministry, because during the holiday time, churches do have functions.
Oh, yes.
A lot of them.
Yep.
But then if you're not getting somewhere that's positive and you got a little money in your pocket, what's the next place that you would go, Tony? Where would you go?
Probably wouldn't be to the church.
You know? So it makes you think, like, okay, I'm going to go socialize. I'm going to go be with these people doing what?
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to make sure that I'm just sharing this with the audience because, I mean, I've been living in this community a long time, and I'm not saying I'm a perfect person, but I understand where I came from. And a lot of times when you have those dark winters, you make bad decisions with your money.
Yeah, you got to understand where you came from in order to determine where you're going, okay? And I think things that we're hitting on today is we're just trying to enlighten our listeners to that. Enjoy Christmas, okay? Enjoy it. Have a good time. Do your shopping, but definitely do it in moderation. Make sure that you have a budget set aside for the amount of money that you're going to spend because January is coming, and there's a lot of other things that's going to come due at the same time. And that's when people wind up going to the money stores and getting loans that, you know, don't make sense. So what we're trying to just emphasize is that, you know, holiday season is here. I think Black Friday is a week away. Stores are gearing up. People are getting excited. But just do it in moderation and with some restraint on the credit card. So come January, you're not in financial trouble.
Tony, I got a Black Friday story for everybody.
All right.
This was in 2005, my only Black Friday I ever attended.
Okay.
I needed a new laptop. Okay, I was in a grad school, and me and my wife go out and say, we looking at the newspapers, trying to get ready. Where we going to stay up late at and do what we going to do. So we looking at a couple of places, electronic places. We're like, all right, I'm going to get this laptop. They say it's, I don't know, it's some absurd price that they advertise.
Okay.
But then at the bottom, it's It's scribed. You only got three per store.
Three.
You know, they might have three or they might have five, they might have ten. But I'm going to go into the story. So we ride around. It's at 2 o'clock at night. And it's at the time I lived in Taylor, Michigan. So I'm close to Detroit.
Right. Nope.
So we leave where we stayed at and we ride around. Like, where we going to go? Should we go to Target? Should we go to this store? Should we go to that store?
Telegraph Road. Yep. All the stores.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, all the stores. There you go. So you know that area. So we on Telegraph. You can go all the way
to Pontiac.
To Pontiac if you want. So we ride and we're looking. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. People got tents outside.
Okay.
You know? They in the parking lot. I'm like, what they doing that for? Why they got a tent? Like, what's going on? The sale that's coming 3 days from now.
3 days.
They starting to line up. I'm like, what? And it made me think, like, I'm going to get me one. I'm going to get me a laptop. So I go in a store. I think I'm going to spend, I think it was like probably $150 or something.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a laptop for $150. And this is talking about an old hard drive, not no no Google type of drive type of thing where you can have the memory, the cloud, anything. It's just a hard drive. So back then, computers was costing probably like $600, $700. Like, that's a deal. I can get this for $150. I'm just going to wake up early, get there. Well, that didn't go to what I thought. So I went to buy several stores. I saw some fights in the store over products. I saw people getting an accident in the parking lot in their cars. You know?
Okay.
I mean, I seen people actually, when they get to the run in the store, try to trample people, pulling. I was like, this is not for me. So I finally get to the laptop. They say, oh, we've
been gone.
Been gone, Johnson.
We got another one for you. It's called Bait and Switch.
Yep, we got another one for you. This one is $559.
Right.
But then you need to buy the software. You need to buy this. You need to buy that. So I ended up buying a laptop. I think I ended up paying like $650.
Okay.
But I learned my valuable lesson right there that it's all set up in due fun to get me out on the holidays to take out the goodness of what the holiday really about.
Yeah, that story you told, I don't see very much goodness in any of that, from the fighting to the accidents. All that don't sound like fun. Well, I attempted once in my life, once, to go out on the Black Friday, whatever. And when I drove into the parking lot of the shopping center, I turned around and went home.
Because you seen all those people then.
I say, man, it is 12 o'clock at night, and it's these many cars. There's no way that I'm about to subject myself to the environment inside that store. And to this day, I've never participated. I would much rather, if I decided to do any shopping, it'd be on the internet.
Yes, that's a good
idea. On the internet.
That's a great idea. You'll have a better opportunity getting the sales you need, but it's just thinking about things you need, like, in advance. You're like, all right, I'm going to save it for this in advance. I know I need this. Have a meeting with your family members. Something I was going to talk about today. And sit down and see. Like, what do you need in the house? What can you afford to buy? Do you need a 70-inch screen television when you already got a 50-inch one?
For that particular day. You can always wait till after Christmas.
Yeah, you can
too.
Wait till after.
And if it's something you really need.
That's the best opportunity, because a lot of times those companies be overstocked and they had that material, and then now it's cheaper.
Yeah, they don't want to take it back to the warehouse. They'd rather unload it the day after Christmas or 2 days after, or there's also returns that come back.
Yeah, I know another company that does a good job of getting baiting people in is the cell phone companies.
Oh, yes.
They do that also.
Oh, yeah.
So at the holiday time, the newest phone to come out. Like, you can have a brand. It's one company that a new phone come out every year. I'm like, the same phone. It's the same shape and everything.
You do for an upgrade. They'll send you a text.
Yep.
Christmas. Come on in. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Come in and spend another
$600. Right.
And now you can lease the phone. Like, you can lease the phone.
You
like,
can lease the phone.
No. So it just makes you think, like, I got that new product.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have it.
But after a couple months, and then you get things in the mail for the automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in, come talk to us. Or the scam artists start coming out with the emails that are supposed to be in your trash box that comes that say, we have a loan for you. You can get the loan. You qualify for $25,000 right now. Just give us your Social Security number.
Okay.
Apply now.
And a lot of people do.
And then next thing you know, they got you taken. They put money in your bank account, and then they taking it away. You cash a check. Now you stuck with a negative amount. I've seen situations like that where people were victimized.
Right.
You know, being in the business that I'm in, you see people, they got to get identity. This is the biggest time for identity theft, the holiday time.
Because of the use of credit cards. And, you know, identity theft, it's not really that difficult. I mean, it is as easy as handing a waiter your credit card. And I know it's happened.
Yeah. It happened to me. I can remember being at I was at church and we had, you know, something right before New Year's. It was right before New Year's celebration. And we were singing and we were having a great time. And that night my bank account got hit for $2,400.
Okay.
My bank card. And I know I didn't share it with nobody, but then they ended up told me that a company had got compromised. Somebody went into the database.
Okay, they were the hackers. Hackers.
So I didn't do anything illegitimate on my behalf or get nobody my number.
That's how easy it is.
They went in to a store I went to and used my card one time, and they got me for like negative $2,400.
Okay.
I looked at my account. I was like, wow, it was a new year. I'm like, Happy New Year, Chauncey. Happy New Year. Look at this. I'm like, I know I had more money than this in my account. So then I called, but like you said, it's better to have my money under the couch.
Oh, yeah.
They covered it. They was able to investigate. I don't know what they did, but I got my money back. But just looking at that, how many people get victimized like that all the time?
All the time. All the time. I had it. Happened to me. And I knew it was the fact that I just used only a certain few credit cards. And I know when it happened. Okay? And like I say, it's what happens a lot of times is waiters, they will write the number down, and they sell those numbers. There's groups of people out there that will buy those credit cards. And then they'll send them down to somewhere in Texas or out east or out west, and they don't need to physically have the card if they got the numbers. But like you say, then you have, you know, the problem with the system being hacked by hackers to also gain your information. So this time of the year, you're absolutely right, Chauncey, it's probably a peak season for the folks that do the credit card scams.
Yep. Somebody I wanted to ask you, like I don't have no kids yet, Tony, so I think about it. Like I look out for some of my family members. I try to do my best to get out cards and gifts to family. And like, I mean, my wife talk all the time, and I wouldn't say it's easy because, you know, she a woman. She's a
right.
woman. She a woman got needs. You got to be able to take care of your spouse and everything. But just like looking at kids and me not having a family, how do you sit your family down and tell them it's going to be? This how, ain't no Santa Claus, this is me. How do you approach that? Like, and show them, like, we spend this much during Christmas. What does that look like? Because I do that with my wife, but like, you know, a kid, you want to show them you love them, but then a lot of times people got that confused. I don't have no children, so I don't know what I would tell them if I'm in a situation that I've been spending a lot of money and then all of a sudden I'm like, we about to do this. Oh, I'm mad at you, Daddy. Like, how do you get them to think in a different way about the money and the culture of it.
This whole celebration of Christmas. It's you know, that's some for some folks it's a very touchy subject because they want their kids to believe in Santa Claus. Okay? But I think we're doing our kids a misjustice about how you acquire things. Okay. The myth of someone coming to your house in the middle of the night while you're asleep and leaving gifts may tend to lead others down the road to think that this is what life is all about. People giving you things that you haven't earned versus saying that I purchased those items for you. I worked hard.
Saved.
I worked hard. I saved. And I want you to appreciate it. Okay? I don't want you to think that it was a gift and you can just do away with it or destroy it or what have you. It's a, like I say, it's a tough situation for a lot of folks because society has bought into the fact that the Santa Claus is real. I mean, you see it on TV, school systems, they promote it. Of course, the marketing firms, they promote it. So it's like your wife told you, you know, your old Grinch stole Christmas because you're bumping up against this myth of Santa Claus. So I know we allowed our children to play into that for a period of time, but after a while, you know, when they got really old enough to realize how important possessions were and things that we purchased, we moved away from that and basically just explained to them what Christmas was all about. It's about the celebration of the birth of Christ. And as a caveat to that, we as a family, in his honor, we'll share some small gifts, some tokens of appreciation of love. But at no point Do I personally, I can't think of a time that my wife and I ever went overboard when it came to Christmas as far as purchasing things for our children.
Yep. So I just had to ask that question because a lot of times I just look at it like I've heard in the past this just paying attention randomly and people say, my kids got to have a good Christmas. I'm like, what about January, February, March, April, yeah. May, June, July, August, September? What about those other months? Why has got to just be the one time, and why you got to just go hard that one time when you just can,
well,
can manage it?
That's back to the question we started off with, Chauncey. What determines
a good Christmas?
A good Christmas. Okay, and I think each and every one of us has to ask ourselves that. Me personally, I got it figured out. Because on the day after Christmas, I feel good about what happened on Christmas. Because with our schedules, my family, we're all busy, but we stop and we take time to be together and break bread and fellowship, watch the sports and, make those phone calls. And that's what Christmas is to me. Those are moments that I will cherish for life, is to have my family, my children around me at Christmas.
That's good. That's heavy right there. That's powerful. And just taking in for the audience, like, it just makes you think that, like you said, what is Christmas really about? Like my parents been gone for my father's been gone for 5, my mother's been gone for 10, and I can remember the holiday times of the food and the stories, and mm-hmm. being together,
mm-hmm.
the fun stuff, going places and being able to see things. And that's all I remember. I don't remember no gifts. I remember a hat I wanted and them shoes, the lessons I learned. That's it.
Okay.
I wanted a baseball slugger's hat and them shoes. That's all I can. And I don't really have no true attachments to any other physical things.
And that's good.
It just goes back how my father disciplined me and say, nope, that's not, we don't live like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend down the street can have whatever he want to have. That's him. In this house, we do things differently.
That's right. I don't know, man. I might have to check on your dad because he might have been related to my dad.
That's what people ask me. Like, say, they actually say Tony Williams and Chauncey Williams. Y'all any relation? I say, hey, you never know.
Have to shake this family tree, man. I'm telling you, my dad was that way. He was a no nonsense kind of guy.
And I really appreciate him. Something I had a list that I have, and then just over the holiday time, the first one is celebrate. And just getting a grip on your finances and just enjoying what you currently have and just being, don't look at your past, look at what God has for you in the future. Secondly, stay active. I know I coach basketball, so I'm going to a lot of Christmas tournaments.
Oh, yes.
Catching a lot of my old players, college players and all that. That's my Christmas.
Okay.
Getting to see them play at the next level, being with the current team I'm with right now. That's Muskegon Lady Red, so I got to give them a shout out.
Give them a plug, baby.
I'm assisting with them and just helping them and being with them. Find things to laugh about during the Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time, when the family comes around, who's the jokester, who's the comedian in the family, who's going to do something silly, getting a good laugh, doing something fun together, something affordable and fun. You got the bowling,
mm-hmm. board games,
or just going outside, having fun.
Monopoly is still a good family board game.
That's right. Yep. And then the next one is count your blessings.
Praise
just
God.
To take a deep That's breath, good. Man, just to take a deep breath in the day. And I'm alive and I'm able to see.
I'm healthy.
What God has done for me and gave me another holiday season
mm-hmm.
to be here to celebrate. Because everybody can't say
good
that.
Stuff. Oh, man. Yeah. My son gave a testimony last week at a men's group. I don't want to cut you off, but
go ahead, you
I want to plug this about people. He just turned 32 and he was talking about people at his age that has passed in the last couple weeks. And he was really thankful, okay, that God woke him up that morning. And he said every morning when God wakes him up, he gives him the praise and the honor that he deserved because tomorrow is not promised at 32.
Yeah, he sounded like this guy named, I told I listen to a lot of people, Vincent Norman Peale say, this is the day God has made.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
Yes.
I'll be glad and rejoice in it every day.
Every day.
And if I say that to myself, as soon as I wake up, I'm going to look for the joy in all the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So during this holiday season, just be happy for the joy for the people that come to you and just thank you and just be around. Next one is accept what you can't change. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have to get that second job this holiday season, your kids still love you. Mm-hmm. You daddy, you mama, you look just like them, and they love the mess out of you.
They just want you to be around.
They just want you to be around. They want you to be free during the holiday season. They want you to be out of trouble, and you want them to be out of trouble for you all to be together. That's what they want. And then the last one is just find peace through prayer or meditation and just thinking about it. I was listening to something this morning, and a guy was talking. He said, it was Zig Ziglar. He said, if you can close your eyes and just for a moment imagine all the people that you love in your life, picture them if they were gone. Would you call them one last time? Would you say something to them? Would you treat them? How would you react if you just close your eyes and meditate on that? And it just makes me think back to that. What is your Christmas about? Is it about receiving gifts? Was about giving, being a servant to others, and sharing what you have, which is your talents, and being able to fellowship and get around to the places you ain't been getting around to for the last 11 months. So this is a list that I have that I'm going to be focusing on this holiday season, and we just want to share it with you all.
That's it. What determines a good Christmas? And I think, you know, there's no dollar amount. Okay, that's going to be my closing word. I don't think you can put a dollar amount. But if you got your family, your faith, your friends, it's priceless. Tony Williams.
Chauncey Williams. And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success.
Everybody have a good Thanksgiving.
This is 103.7 The Beat. If you want to reach us, check us out on Facebook, Tony Williams, Chauncey Williams, Credit and Debt Help. Reach out.